you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast after a brief break last week for opening week and a busy one for the Giants off in Milwaukee, then coming back here for the Dodgers, obviously the Brandon Belt stuff as well, cut into everything, but we are back and we'll have a few this week. I'm going to try a little something new here and try to go a little bit shorter with some of these guys. So if you follow me on Twitter, let me know how you like that. If you prefer that, I think it'll be easier on guests and easier, especially on players who I usually talk to before games. The guest today is Tim Brown from Yahoo Sports. He's a national baseball columnist for him. One of those guys that baseball writers read. He's one of the really good baseball writers out there. And I know a lot of beat writers follow him and read him. He is on Twitter at @tbrownyahoo. And I would recommend going back and reading what he wrote this weekend about Madison Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw. That certainly was a fun game, and I think Tim did a great job of capturing not just what happened on the field, but also in the ballpark and around the ballpark on really a special day here. And I think a special weekend. It was a rare baseball weekend and one of the better April series you will see. And looks like these two teams are going to go at each other all year. So I think banking a couple wins a couple additional wins for the Giants will pay off down the line. Here is Tim Brown to kind of wrap it all up. Tim Brown, the baseball columnist from Yahoo Sports, thanks for joining us. That was a wild weekend we had here. How do you kind of sum up Giants-Dodgers for the first time?
You know, the things that caught my eye were, we saw the Giants offense come around last year. And this looks like an even better version of last year. I think that they are, again, the kind of team that wins games where other teams lose games. You know, we saw them come back three times in this series, end up losing the Friday night game, but they still have that resilience. They win where other teams lose. And on the other side, I see a Dodger team that's really beat up, that, you know, the bullpen is not necessarily beat up, but doesn't look great. But I do think that when they get Grandal back, when they get Kendrick back, when later in the summer Ethier gets back, it's going to be a different team.
You are Southern California-based. You know the Dodgers well, and that's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you after this was how much stock do we put into the roster we saw from them as opposed to what we're going to see, you know, maybe even a week from now or 2 months from now? I mean, how much different is this team going to be?
I think a lot different. It has to be. You know, I think, you know, over the course of the first week or so, you're seeing a handful of guys on that roster who are either not at the sort of what you would think of as a championship level or in some cases not even at a big league level yet. So I do think that, you're seeing this sort of this curve of Dave Roberts leading the team, which you know, there is a period of sort of settling in with a new manager, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he'll do. I do think that he's got a ways to go. I think we saw over the weekend that he's not Bruce Bochy yet. You know, he's got some top step lessons to still come. But this is a team that has maybe a little more brighter spirit about it right now. So I think that'll help. But, they had a funny offseason where their strategy, they're playing it both ways, trying to keep a competitive team while also restocking a farm system, and a lot of that with the international side. They didn't make any big splashy signings in the off season, so they're trying to bring that $300-something million thing down, and while at the same time trying to be something. And you know, I think the Giants, after seeing the Giants for the first week, I think that's where their competition is going to lie.
Do you think which team, I guess, down the line, which team would you, you know, the Giants just won 3 out of 4, but you know a healthy Dodger team, the Giants team you've seen is healthy. I mean, where do you kind of stack them right now?
You know, I picked the Dodgers to win the division for the reason that I still wanted to see Samardzija bounce back. I wanted to see him be more than just a 500 pitcher. And I wanted to see Cueto stay healthy because, I mean, those are two really critical elements here, particularly if Bumgarner is going to go through sort of a period here. He's thrown an awful lot of innings in a short number of seasons. But you assume greatness out of him. If those two guys aren't at least well above average, and then you're looking at Peavy and Kane on the back end, it might not be a great rotation, and that may be where their flaw is. But so far, I mean, what I saw out of Kane the other night is okay. He's not a 1 or a 2 anymore, but he's certainly a passable 4 or 5, and he still knows how to pitch. He's not sort of the power guy. But
yeah.
So that was critical. I thought that was pretty good news. You know, I'm going to have to see a lot more. I don't know where this Dodger team is going. And again, I want to see the Giants rotation hold up for 2 or 3 months here, see what it looks like then.
We are a weekend. The one thing you mentioned, the Dodgers bullpen, which that was my biggest takeaway from this weekend, was just that their lineup's going to be much better when they get healthy. The rotation will be better. The bullpen is the same, different guys, same concept, I think, that we've seen the last few years. And the Giants have won a lot of games that way with Romo and Lopez and now Strickland and Osich. What do you think they do long term? And I, you know those guys. What do they think of the concept of building a bullpen? I know they tried to get Chapman, but it's not a very new age thing to go out and spend money on bullpen guys.
Yeah, I think that you know, one of the things that Andrew did well in Tampa was to build some of those bullpens, but they were interchangeable. You know, you saw different closers and different setup men, and I think you know, sometimes those things hit and sometimes they don't. I mean, there's no denying that the guys you see coming in, for the most part, have good arms. And you see a couple of the older guys like Howell, who's just sort of a crafty guy. But they're good arms, but they're not established yet, and they're going to have an issue. I think they can cover whatever ground they're going to need to cover immediately after the start of 6th, 7th inning. They're still searching for an 8th inning guy. You know, I mean, you saw Hatcher a couple times, not so good once. Managed to get through an inning the second time, and they're really hoping he develops into, because he's got a big arm. He's, you know, he throws 96, 97, and he's got a decent slider. But I do think some of that, he's got to believe in himself. He has to pitch like an 8th inning guy, and he doesn't do that with enough consistency. And the 9th inning is lockdown. So that's what the Chapman foray was all about, is trying to figure out a way to get that 8th inning taken care of one way or the other. It was probably going to be Jansen. And that still sort of sits there. And that's a problem, especially if Kazmir's going to be a 5 or 6 inning guy. Stripling looked okay, but you know, I don't know. That's really a problematic area right now.
Do you get the sense that the farm system they have, I guess, best in baseball, at least best in the National League, I would think, that is going to come into play in the bullpen at all, or with trading pieces, or is this just a full, these guys are important for the future, these guys are going to be cheap, controllable guys that we can use, and the next wave is coming and they're going to stay here? Because it seems like so far they've kept all their guys.
Right. What gets interesting is there are plenty of injuries in the rotation as well. I mean, Stripling, midway through spring training, may have been 12th or 13th on that depth chart, and here he is. So when those guys start coming back, they'll have some decisions to make who goes where. Maybe that does deepen the bullpen. The two young guys they have in the minor leagues, and Urias and De Leon, are could end up to be kind of important at some point this season, whether it's in the rotation or, I mean, obviously you'll keep them in the rotation, but pushing guys then, therefore, out of the rotation into bigger roles. We'll see. Urias in particular, I don't think he's ever thrown more than 70 or 80 innings in a season, so there's still, a long way from him being an established guy, but he could help a handful of starts, perhaps.
The last Dodger question I'll ask you is Puig. He looked more, to me, this weekend like the guy we saw 2 years ago. I think looked more in control, with the exception of trying to throw it a runner out at the plate from the warning track today. Is that something you've seen going back to spring training through the first week? Is this a different Puig than last year's Puig?
I think that that some folks, including perhaps Dave Roberts, and maybe the changeover in the coaching staff has helped a lot in getting him to understand that his career was in the balance, that, you know, teammates weren't really enjoying being around him, that he was costing them at least moments and sometimes games, sort of acting out. And he does seem to be a more serene, more cerebral, more together player, and I think it's helped him. He looks good, I like sort of he's eye contact and the way he's sort of communicating with teammates, all those things that sort of didn't go very well and therefore rubbed teammates the wrong way and therefore sort of pushed the clubhouse sideways, for the moment have been really good. He's also hitting four something, and it's easy to be a good guy when you're hitting four something. It's different when you're going through a slump. So I think they all hope he's grown up a little bit, matured, and I think so far it looks okay.
Anything about baseball in general the first week that surprised you, stood out to you in the division maybe? I know you follow the West closely.
The Pollock injury in the NL West is interesting. 2 years ago, we saw Patrick Corbin go down with the elbow thing on the eve of the season, and it just tanked the Diamondbacks for 6 months. You know, they just weren't a very good team. And I think this could be just as critical to them. We all sort of liked them. I think that some folks felt they gave up too much, particularly for Shelby Miller. But, it was an irrelevant team for too long, and they made a run at it, and I sort of applauded that. But the Pollock thing is devastating, and, the one guy you would need to step up, having lost Pollock for the season, is Ender Inciarte, and he's gone.
He's gone.
In the Miller trade. So, suddenly that... This looks to me to be a two-team race, so I think that's interesting. The Orioles going out fast, that was a team that people sort of decided may have been the odd team out in that division if you're going to pick one team to finish last, and that was a very difficult division to pick. That's sort of interesting. If they get some pitching, they're going to hit. Trevor Story is fascinating, especially, consider they finally pulled the trigger on a Tulo trade. They were going to have Reyes sort of sit there for a little bit, and now he's obviously not part of that plan anymore, and to have a guy step in. That's sort of interesting. If nothing else, it's something for people in Colorado to go watch for a year or two.
Yeah, we're going to see him this week. The Pollock thing, I could have had him sixth or seventh on my MVP ballot last year, but Goldschmidt, I think, was second. So at some point, you have to stretch the guys out. But that guy, I don't think anybody realizes just how good he is.
Right. And part of one of the consequences of quote unquote going for it is leaving yourself thin. They dealt some guys who certainly would have helped them this year, and others who were close enough to the big leagues who may have helped them this year, and now none of that's there. And they were, we all agreed going in, they were one devastating injury from not being competitive, and that they could find themselves there again, particularly if Zach Greinke is not the guy he was last season. That's a different ballpark to pitch in than Dodger Stadium is. He's now the number one guy. I'm not sure what he thinks of that glare of standing out in front of an organization and making all that money and having to win 20 and all those things. And if Miller's not going to be the guy he was, or even though with the peripheral numbers in Atlanta, now you're talking about that could be a long season.
You mentioned number one guy, and you wrote, I want to plug on the way out of here, your story about Bumgarner and Kershaw yesterday. I thought was awesome, and I hope people go read it, because there was a Momo's reference, and I don't know how you were in Momo's and managed to see that and then see them talking before the game at the same time, but you were everywhere, and it was good. On the way out, where can people find your columns? And I follow you on Twitter, but I don't remember your Twitter handle. So.
It's T Brown Yahoo, and that happened over a span of about 24 hours. I had lunch there on Friday,
That column sounded like you ate there.
I had lunch there on Friday, and then when I came in, Bumgarner. And it was interesting because there's been some conversation in the past about the relationship between Bumgarner and Kershaw. Are they friends? Are they semi-friends? Are they whatever? And I watched Kershaw walk all the way across the field to go talk to Bumgarner, which I thought was kind of cool. I just sort of enjoy, you know, between the Giants and the Dodgers and Kershaw and Bumgarner, it's fun. It's what, you know, we get so caught up in all the numbers all winter and who's paying what for whom and slide rules and you know, whatever you want to talk about it, qualifying offers. And then you walk in on a night or a day like yesterday or a weekend like this, and it's just baseball, and it's fun, and the place is packed, and this is the best ballpark in the country, and it's just fun again, and that's what it ought to be. So that's what I was sort of hoping to reflect.
It was a very fun weekend of April baseball, and as somebody I know who knows the Dodgers well, and I know you know Bruce Bochy well, and those guys, I appreciate you taking the time here to kind of wrap it up, and we have five more of these to go. So hopefully you get two more trips up here.
I hope so, too. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Tim.
In the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.